The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this episode are that of the guest and host and do not necessarily reflect the values of sponsors or other associated organizations. Welcome to the Parental Compass. I am your host, Bobby Williams. We are on Apple Music. We are on Spotify. And both of these platforms allow you to hit the subscribe button so that you can get notified every week when we drop a new episode. I'll give you a quick second to do that right now. Babies, toddlers, four-year-olds, five-year-olds, it's the time in life when your brain is developing the most. But how, as a parent, can you help your child to develop, move the process along, and really get everything they can from those crucial years? Well, here to discuss that issue with me are two very special people. I'm speaking with Cheryl Haywood, the Executive Director of the Timberland Regional Libraries, and Jessica Freeberg, the District Manager for Youth and Family Services. Collectively, Timberland oversees 27 libraries across Washington, and they are heavily invested in this issue. You know what? Enough talking. Let's get right into it.
You can start with singing songs with your children. You can start by narrating your day. So say you're cooking dinner, you can talk about what you're doing.
So what does narrating your day do? Like, what's the purpose of that?
So it helps the child, it's different things. It helps the child build a vocabulary, for one thing. It really enriches that. There have been studies that the more a caregiver talks to their child, engages with their child, their vocabulary increases, and that also prepares them for that time when they become a reader, because they're already flowing in that, the verbal language, not the written language. Mm-hmm. It also helps a child really start exploring the world around them. And since an adult is a mentor, so it's helping them figure out their world. And part of that is introducing them to processes that people use throughout their life.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting, just all those things you can do to start getting them going that direction. You mentioned kids' songs, and there's so much music directed towards little children. Is there a purpose to that music beyond just annoying parents?
Well, what I've seen too, it helps with sounds, because when you do rhymes and when you sing, it actually drags out the sound of language and extends the sound of words. And so it helps with that. So children can, I think it's called, I can't pronounce it, but it's a phonological awareness. So it helps with that. It also helps just kids be able to play with sound and be comfortable with that. And singing also helps build memory and build learning. And it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And you are also mentioning narrating your day. So explain that in a little deeper detail. Like, what does that look like, narrating your day? And what's the purpose again?
So I would say an example. So as you know, our habits are a little different with a pandemic, but say you're going to the grocery store and you're going to be maybe you're going to drive to go pick up the food. You know, they're going to drop it off instead of you go into the store. You can tell your child, like, hey, we're going to go to the store today. But we need to get ready. And so you can even talk to them, like, what do we need to get ready? Like, yep, we need our shoes. We need our coat. Let's get all set. Now we're going to go to the car. What do you think we're going to see when we drive to the store? And you can talk about that. And then you could even say, like, oh, look, there's a stoplight. And now it's red. So we're going to stop. It's green. Now we're going to go.
I heard if you ask kids about their future, it develops their prefrontal cortex in a different way. So that's interesting to me.
Yeah,
when I think about young children too, they seem to, they're just discovering their bodies and how they work. How can you help foster that or move them along to get coordination?
So with that, one of the phrases I loved hearing is that a child's job is to play. Like that's what they're supposed to be doing right now. And there's different ways to do that. I mean, I would say encouraging dancing and any time that you can have songs or movements, even like Simon says, that has them cross over. They're like, let's say the right hand to the left side, jumping up and down, balancing on things. Even if you put tape, even if you put some tape on the floor and walked on that, that helps build those gross motor skills and helps them really like build that core and that coordination that it's even basic as helping them learn how to have the strength and coordination to put clothes on and be able to get in the car by themselves. And so you can make that, even into a game.
Children love repetition. They don't get tired of it. You know, same movie again and again and again, same book always. Why is that?
Part of that is they take something new out of that each time, and they're learning what's familiar, and they do like routine. They thrive on routine, and part of that is if you read the same book 50 times, they're going to get something new out of that each time, and it's part of that process of developing themselves as children.
To add on to what Jessica said about answering the question about when you go to the store and describe your day and all that, there's also a lot of research pointing to describing your emotions. So it's like teaching your child emotional literacy at a very young age about how they feel is very critical too.
How else can you help children understand their emotions?
I think that's a very good question. I think building off of what Cheryl said is even helping a child process their emotions, helping them find words to describe their emotions. I've seen even like little images, like different images, like does this, you know, sad face, smiley face, like how do you feel? And of course, as a librarian, I have to mention books. there are books out there that can also help children learn about different emotions and from even a child's perspective and how a child may say, I feel red. So what does red mean? Or I feel blue. What does blue mean? And I think that can help caregivers and parents help their children have the words they need to describe how they're feeling.
The emotional intelligence of a child is so critical to help the child be very sure of themselves and confident of themselves, with strong self-esteem growing up, so that they are you know, able to thrive as adults.
I'm going to get into some controversial territory. Prepare yourselves.
Okay.
Tablets. Are they helping 0 to 5 year olds learn? Are they hindering? What's your position on it?
I would say it depends on how they're used. I think if a caregiver is there to help guide the experience with the children and teach them how to engage in it, it's the same with narrating things and talking about what's happening in the apps, at least to start. So I think of some of the apps where it's maybe like math games or color games or shape games, or even how to get ready for kindergarten. So I think some of the studies have shown that when there is a caregiver involved with that time, that screen time, that's when it can really enrich child's development.
What about you, Cheryl?
The studies show, articles have shown, that the best interaction is always with the parent, always with the caregiver, or with the sibling, or with the friend. Young children really need to, for facial recognition when they're babies, and then the social interactions when they're older as toddlers. I think there's a time and place for iPads and computers, but to me, I have two adult children now, and we had and obviously it was a different time back in the 90s. However, it was like very limited time, especially when they were birth through five. And what Jessica has said before about a child's main role is to play and to be inventive. And you cannot necessarily be playing and be that inventive when you're interacting with a computer. Mm-hmm. And so from my personal experience and from the things I've read, we provided simple blocks or simple items for our children to play with. And then they used those items for like 10 years, coming up with a wide array of play games throughout their day. It was amazing to watch as a parent how they interacted with like a cube, just a cube. And that cube became different things to them over time. It was fascinating to watch.
Yeah. Even like a box or something can be this great imaginary toy. We've talked before about when children are young, if you want them to be bilingual, you have to start, ideally, you can start them at a young age. So say you have a 3-4-year-old, how are you going to start teaching them to be bilingual? And if you're not bilingual yourself?
Part of that is exposing children to different languages as young as you can. That can be through books, it can be through songs, it can be through, if you don't know the language, there's also some resources out there, even that Timberland has, to start that language acquisition of different languages early.
So I grew up in Montreal, Quebec, and I had the opportunity to be in French immersion as an English speaking person. I was 12 at the time. Studies do show that the younger you start, the better it is. And so in Quebec, there is immersion that begins at kindergarten for English speaking people. And it's people end up perfectly bilingual with the accent of that either language, English or French. Timberland Regional Library does have picture books that are bilingual. We do have movies that do have English translation. We do have language learning for very young children. I think, you know, what Jessica said about songs and repetition of songs. I mean, everybody knows Frère Jacques, you know? So it's like you can learn the songs as an adult and sing along with the child. The earlier you start, the better, because you're laying down those neuro channels, so to speak.
But when I was preparing for this interview, I just kind of randomly thought of a time when I was like maybe 2 or something, and like playing with my dad, and we had some game where it's just like crash and just fall down or something, and it was just a really happy memory. And I bring that up because I was also thinking about this time that we're going through right now with COVID and everyone being at home a lot. And while it's a real pain in a lot of ways, it's also a good time for parents to bond with their children and probably help develop them into stronger learners too. What do you all think?
Yeah, absolutely. I know this is challenging, and every household has their own challenges that they're facing, especially if everyone is in school from home or doing work from home. But this is an opportunity if people have the bandwidth to create even a simple schedule where it's, okay, we're going to do a family activity together. We're going to play games. We're going to read together. We're going to do art together. We're going to go out and explore our neighborhood together. And this is a great opportunity to build those deeper relationships and connections with one another, that can be sibling to sibling, parent to parent, that can last and really impact in such a positive way moving forward.
Wow, I don't know if I could follow that. this is a priceless time. Yes, yeah. Of course there's challenges. However, it is a priceless time for parents and caregivers to really bond with their children. And as you were saying, Bobby, for their children in 20 years from now to remember the pandemic and remember the warm feelings around the pandemic rather than the fear. And that's the responsibility of the caregiver and the parent, is to continue to keep the child safe and loved and deeply loved and deeply cared for. And with the resources and the staff that we have at Timberland Regional Library, you can create a magical, magical world for your child.
Yeah.
And your child will grow up resilient, literate on so many different levels, musical literacy, book literacy, emotional literacy, that, like I said, it's priceless and invaluable, the time that people have now to really bond with their family.
Yeah. Well, you're both library people. What role do you think that libraries have to educate young children, both locally and around the country? How can they help? What's their job?
So I always go back to what's one of the primary reasons libraries exist? And part of that is providing the resources and providing that access to those resources to help people build the skills and get the knowledge they need to meet their goals and to be successful. One thing that I know that Timberland has been doing and other libraries around the country is how in this more online world, can we still provide some of this? We have our story times through Zoom where caregivers and their kids, they can log in. We have it on our, if you go to trl.org, go to our events calendar, and it's live story times with actual people and they can interact with the kids and read books, sing songs, play. And I think it's a really valuable time for another way to connect with others outside of our households in a safe way.
And I like to build on that, on what Jessica just said. And libraries spark curiosity. Libraries spark energy. Libraries spark a lifelong zest for learning. And so when caregivers and parents, if they can instill that love of learning of anything in a very young child, even if, you know, right now you can't physically go to the library, like Jessica was saying, and like, okay, let's go to a Zoom story time now. Let's go to the library on the computer. And let's go check out Tumble Books, or let's go look at a magazine, you know, because we do have electronic magazines now. I mean, we've had them for a while, where, you know, for parents, caregivers, and for young children. And so to me, libraries have always played a very strong role in early literacy and creating that curiosity, that zest for learning, the passion that will remain with, because it, you know, they're so young, that feeling will that the parent or caregiver imparts will last for a lifetime, so that they will be resilient when they move into adulthood and they face challenges, just like the challenge of the pandemic, that they're going to be able to overcome it, remembering that feeling during one of the most intense periods of their lives.
It makes me happy to see libraries still going strong, even through this pandemic. So just thank you for being here today, and just thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
One of my big takeaways from that conversation is that while your child may not remember every instance or little thing that happened growing up, They remember the general vibe of what was going on, and they remember the energy you put in. So, Jessica, Cheryl, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate you. On behalf of Family Education and Support Services, this has been the Parental Compass. We'll see you next week. Peace!